Well, from skin adornment to adornment of a different kind, what we wear, your personal style, it might be flamboyant, might be anti-fashion, might be whatever you pick up from the floor on a given day, but it is that outer layer that you present to the world. And what you wear, does that change how you feel about yourself in terms of your confidence? Or perhaps it's really not a priority for you, you've got other fish to fry. But certainly there's this assumption that we should address, that we should dress in a particular way that is appropriate for our age. You just got to hear women talking about each other and other women to know that. Style does not come with a use-by date, says Nikki Parkinson. She is a stylist, a fashion blogger, a very popular fashion blogger, I gather, and she's author of Unlock Your Style. Good morning.
Good morning,
Looking
Natasha.
Very stylish.
Oh, thank you.
You boldly state, leave cuts of meats to the butchers. This is a reference to mutton dressed as lamb, that horrible comment that men and women often make, not of men, mind you, but of women.
It really annoys me because I don't believe you should dress a certain way because of your age. You should dress a certain way because of your personality or the situation or occasion that you might find yourself in. And it just, you know, why do we have to be referred that way? We're not bound by anything that our previous generations were bound by. Women are having forging careers, we're independent, we're financially independent. It just doesn't sit well with me.
Mm. It doesn't really sit well with me either. But when you hear the judgment that women make of other women in relation to what they wear, something's driving that pressure that women feel often.
I think women are our own worst enemies with other women, and I really love how I've kind of been able to develop a non-judgmental space with my blog for women who mostly are 30 years and up that are looking for some cues to kind of feel okay with how they present themselves to the world.
And not go bland.
No.
And not necessarily go beige. That's a particular bias I have. I'm sure a lot of people love wearing beige.
Well, I actually, in defense of beige, I say if that's what makes you feel comfortable and true, confident, that that's what you should do. If you try and force colour or something non-beige onto yourself when your personality might not be ready for it at this particular point in time or ever, then it you don't have that confidence. So I'm all for experimenting, but I very much am happy for people to wear the black or the beige or the neutral.
There's a certain irony too that we start our lives getting told what to wear by others. We end our lives being told what to wear by others.
I know, and I feel like, am I telling people what to wear? I actually want people to feel confident to make the choices themselves about what to wear. I don't want to give more rules. I actually want people to honour who they are and dress accordingly.
So who is the mainstream fashion industry marketing to? Who are they targeting?
Young women. It's very rarely would I walk into a store and feel like I am being marketed to as a 47-year-old woman. It really disappoints me, and I know it disappoints a lot of other women out there who communicate with me via the blog or social media to, you know, they just go, I just can't imagine myself in that outfit.
Yeah, so what are the signs to you when you walk in a shop that huge, they're not marketing to you?
Huge big campaign posters of 20-year-old women, if we're lucky, if they're 20, wearing the clothes that a 20-year-old woman is probably not going to walk into that store and buy. So it kind of is an off-putting thing straight away.
For me, it skirts sort of just below my mons pubis. That's the sign to me that, well, hang on a tick.
Yes. There are stores that cater for, and I would say their demographic is an older demographic, but I think in their marketing, they're not marketing to that demographic. So we might have a knee-length skirt, in the marketing, it's positioned as attractive only on a 20-year-old.
Or it's got a tiny waist.
Yes. Or the person themselves represents a very small percentage of the population. And I think, you know, that's getting into a whole thing with the model industry, isn't it? But mostly you would walk into stores, except for a plus size store, which I hate that term as well, and see mannequins, size 8 mannequins, size 8, 6 to 8 models wearing the clothes on the campaign images.
Mm. How, and you mention in the book, is it Ari Seth Cohen, the photographer?
Yes.
And the designer Karen Walker?
Yes.
Just illustrate how you think that they are shifting these assumptions.
So he's this amazing photographer slash blogger slash author based in America, in New York, and he photographs the most incredibly amazing women who, for the way they dress. They're all older women. I don't think there's any under 60. Mm. There's 80 and 90-year-olds, and they are flamboyant, they've got style, there's colour splashed around, and you can see the confidence. And he's captured them and shared those images and those people with the world. And, you know, apart from a celebrity reference, that is a really good indication, I think, of how we can aspire to hold on to who we are and our personality as we age.
But most women in their 60s, 70s, 80s would look at those photos and go, oh, I'm not. I don't look remotely like that, nor will I ever. So it's still demonstrating that you have to, you know, this sort of glamour, this high-end supermodel look. When I look at them, I go, Christ, I'll never look like that. Not that I care, but still.
I think it's taking their personality out of it. Like, with the age we are now, do I really think in 20 years' time I'm not going to want to dress to show who I am? I don't think so, and I think that's something that's changed with the generation. And I see these women, you know, that's what I aspire to be when I'm a nan. You know?
Let's look at this idea of unlocking your style. So there are a few different things you're encouraging people to do. A wardrobe edit, quite brash edit, we'll get to that. But you talk about acknowledging the seasons of life, which could sound a bit gushy,
but in fact, woo-woo.
A little bit woo-woo, that's right. But actually, this is quite practical in terms of what people are doing at any given point in their lives.
And sometimes those seasons come up and hit you suddenly, and you know suddenly you might find yourself having to find a new relationship, or you've returned to the workforce after having children, and oh my goodness, I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago or even a year ago. And I think we can kind of get lost in the angst of that without accepting that we're not going to be the same person necessarily all our life, and we can change.
So give us an example of the seasons of life concept that you're exploring.
So for me, I would say, you know, even when you come out of university or school and go into your first job, you know, you're going to be dressing and acting a slightly different way depending on what industry you're going into. For women, if you leave work to have children, if you've come from a corporate background, then suddenly you're in the playground on a daily basis and none of your wardrobe works for you, so you kind of feel a bit out of place. And conversely, when you go back to work, maybe the person you are now isn't reflected by the wardrobe that you had before you had children.
This is where the wardrobe edit comes in. But just looking at your own transitions before we get to the kind of wardrobe edit that you've been doing in recent years, how did this all begin for you? Because this is quite interesting. It certainly didn't begin with Barbie, did it?
Well, no, because I didn't have Barbie.
I didn't either. I wasn't allowed to have a Barbie.
But do you know what? I think if I was allowed to have a Barbie, I wouldn't have these issues still. It's now become a family joke, and of course I joke that I've built a whole career on it. But my mum, my late mum, was very politically correct before her time. We're talking the 70s in Australia, and she never let me have a doll or a Barbie of anything. So I just longed for going to my girlfriend's house and playing dress-ups and everything because I couldn't have it.
You were my kin. I wasn't allowed to. But someone did give us a Barbie. It was a 1950s Barbie, and she had a wig rack with a bee's nest.
Be still, yeah. My beating heart. And I don't think I'm a really girly girl. It's just that it almost seems like it was a process that I didn't get to go through. And it would have been a great deal if my brothers had got the Barbies and we could have just swapped, because I got given trucks. No accessories come with trucks, I can tell you. But, you know, if they had got the Barbie, we would have just had this awesome deal going on. They just got extra trucks. So it kind of, I went, this doesn't feel right. You know, this is a double standard here.
So you've moved into fashion, you left journalism, you leapt into the blogosphere, it's been very successful for you. What are you telling women to do in terms of a wardrobe edit? What can this achieve and what does it look like to do one?
So this is the crucial part of any process if you're wanting to find your style or ramp it up at all. You have to know exactly what's in your wardrobe. And the only way to know what's exactly in there is to pull it all out and make sure that what goes back in works for you right now. That doesn't mean you get rid of sentimental pieces that have really good meanings or very special meanings, but you need to let go of things that don't fit, that can't be repaired, that can't be washed, stains can't be washed out of them. And you need to have things in there. Everything in there needs to work and make you feel fabulous.
And make you feel good. That's the key. That's my criteria. Does it fit? Does it make me feel good? And I did a big cull.
Yeah. And if you do that twice a year, then you can be in a rush in the morning and always open your wardrobe and find something to wear and not have that stress that comes from, oh, my God, that doesn't make me feel good. You know, what am I going to put with that? And people hold on to a lot of emotion with clothes. There's the emotion of I've spent money on this, so I can't get rid of it. I think it's a waste of money to have it sitting there and actually cluttering your life and confusing your life. And also people hold on to clothes that don't even give them good feelings. No, even if they still fit, it could be something that's associated with a bad relationship or like a particularly awful period of their life. You know, you need to get rid of that stuff, and the feeling, the lightness feeling that comes from that is incredible.
You get rid of it, but then how do you define your personal style if that's of concern to you?
Once you have done that, then you've got a well-edited wardrobe will show the gaps of what is missing from your wardrobe. You need basics in place before you can have the personality things that come into play, because we can go and buy 20 tops that make us feel great and shimmer and sparkle and everything, but if there's no pants to match that work and make you feel good when you're walking down the street, then you've got nothing to wear still. So you need to find the gaps from that wardrobe edit and then only shop for those basics, and then you shop for the show ponies, I call them.
Which may well be just basic black all the way through. I have a goth tendency. How would you describe your own personal style now that you've been immersed in this for some years now?
I think the immersion has reinforced my multiple style personalities. One day I could be quite classically dressed, the next boho. I work from home, so I've really developed a kind of a casual wardrobe, so it almost throws you to a point when you've got to then have outfits ready for more corporate or meetings or anything like that.
But your key is making your own rules, isn't it? But this is, again, very hard just in the last 30 seconds that we have, when people say, oh, no, you can't wear that when you're a certain age because it doesn't look good with a big middle or big hips or wobbly legs or whatever, all the stuff that we end up with as we age.
I say, if you're wearing it and you're putting it on and you feel fabulous, then you're going to be confident and the whole world's going to see that.
Ha! It's a good motto, isn't it? Look, thanks for popping into the studio.
Thank you.
Really terrific to talk to you. And this stuff does occupy people's minds, you know. So, Nikki Parkinson, her book is called Unlock Your Style. It's published by Hachette, and we'll pop details on the Life Matters website, full of lots of pictures and of real women. Real women. We're all real women, even the skinny little skeletal
every woman
women.
Is real.
Every woman is real. Thanks, Nikki.
Thank you.
Terrific.